a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you now for the privilege of hearing your word. Let the Holy Ghost do in the text as only he can. Give understanding, illumination, and revelation, so much so that we might practice the principles and give you all the praise as you profit us from them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles to a familiar story found in Matthew 25 and verse 10 is our focal verse. Verse 10, Matthew 25, 10 says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, "Don't let the doors shut on you." Won't you encourage your neighbor, if you don't mind, and say, "Neighbor, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what may be going through you. But don't let the doors shut on you." Give God some praise, if you will. But just that word of encouragement. This is the story known as the 10 virgins. Of course, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But this story, more than that, has so many different ramifications of understanding. One is, God is a God of love and patience, but his patience only goes so far. When God closed the door on Noah's ark, no doubt the people prayed and they cried, but the truth was, it was all too late. The Bible says in Genesis 6:3 that God's spirit would not always dwell with man. It would not always convict man. It would not always be a part of his experience. And again, we are told not to boast, according to Proverbs 27:1, about tomorrow. And those who reject God's way shall suddenly be destroyed, according to Proverbs 29:1. But when God speaks, we ought to obey. And he may not speak to you again, so when he speaks the first time, that ought to be enough. I mean, you remember again, as we just look upon Noah in that situation, for 120 years, Noah preached a sermon that was not well received or accepted.
Matter of fact, it was ridiculed and it was mocked and made fun of because Noah said, it's going to rain. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, again, for those of you who are not familiar with history, etc., it had never rained before this time. God would mist the earth and dew would water the earth, but there was never rain that had fallen down to the earth. So in the people's defense, they heard it was going to rain, but they had never experienced rain. And so when Noah preached for 120 years, now you won't talk about a monotonous sermon. I don't know how many ways you can preach. It's going to rain. I wonder what Noah preaching about today, y'all. It's going to rain. I mean, you could see the children, the young folk, even the old folks say, Lord, I was a little girl when he was preaching, it's going to rain. But listen, one day, it did rain.
Yes, sir.
And they felt the drops of rain falling from heaven, and they began to become filled with liquid water. And they started seeing the water pile up on the ground, and they started seeing the flood rising, and they started realizing, wait a minute, this water is getting higher. It is going to flood. They ran back to the ark, only to find Noah pulling up the door. And there they were, bamming and knocking on the door, crying out, Noah, we believe. We believe, Noah, let us in. But Noah had already received orders that when it rained, shut the door and don't open it up again without God's approval. Now listen to this. Of 137 million people in that day and time, only 8 people got saved. Out of 137 million or thereabout, only 8 people got saved. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when the door was shut, it was too late. Let me move forward, because there are three things I want you to look at according to this word, and I want to move around the text and around the Bible just to share with you. First of all, there is the door of prayer. And the door represents opportunity. The door represents access. The door represents blessings. And man's only surety of God answering prayer is when he prays to God now. Praying later is not promised to you the opportunity. Praying now is the opportunity we have to call upon him while he is near. Prayer is so important, and while you feel the Holy Ghost unctioning us, how many times in the course of our busy day have we heard and felt and sensed the presence and the unctioning of God? Talk to God about a certain situation, about a certain thing, and we allow the hurriedness and the busyness of our day or the involvement or the pursuit of our own personal passions to keep us from taking a moment out and having a little talk with God, and we let the opportunity pass us by. Never to regain, never to regain that opportunity or blessing God was leading you into. Sometime when God unctions us by the Spirit to talk to him, it is an opportunity so he can speak back to us. And so you'll note in Luke 16 chapter, verse 24 all the way through verse 30, talks about the rich man who had an opportunity to pray, but the door of prayer was shut on him. It was shut on him because while he lived and fared sumptuously, there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus who was on the outside of his gate begging for the crumbs that fell from his table. The record is that Lazarus died. Angels escorted him up to heaven. The record is that the rich man died. And while he died, all you hear is that he is in hell looking up. Now, I want you to notice his prayer life and the door of prayer being closed on him, because he prayed a prayer of comfort in verse 24, because he asked that Lazarus would dip his finger in the water and cool his tongue. That was a prayer of comfort. But what he missed was the door was closed. Hell is a real place, and people will be tormented there forever. And once you go to hell, you don't have an escape. There is no fire plan, no exit route. When you go to hell, you're just in hell. And the Bible says, in hell did he lift up his eyes. So when the doors close, it don't matter whether you pray a prayer of comfort. But I want you to see something else about his prayer. He had a prayer of concern, and that's found in verse 27 and 28. He wanted to send a missionary to earth to warn his brothers that they would not come to hell. No time for God on earth. But now that he gets to hell, he has concern now for others. When there was a brother outside his gate begging for food who was covered with sores, that dogs came and licked his sores and causing a medicinal effect on those sores, and he who had an opportunity to do good was not concerned with the opportunity outside his door. And see, my problem is that sometime if you're concerned, be concerned where the concerns are. And not when it's convenient for you to be concerned. And so again, you'll note not only was that a prayer of comfort and the prayer of concern, but that was the prayer of compassion. Verse 30 says, he not only asked, but he pleaded that he would be able to go back, and if he couldn't go back, send somebody else to warn his brothers again that they should not come to hell. And you need to realize, and I won't throw this out parenthetically, that people do pray in hell. People who never prayed before prayed in hell. But there is a problem. Abraham said, listen, man, you don't need to use your breath on that prayer because we can't do nothing about that. There is a great gulf between us. Lazarus can't come down and you sure can't come up. What's done is done now because the door is shut. And so some of you, my brothers and sisters, need to realize God every day is giving you an opportunity to pray, to talk to him. You really won't talk to God? Can you talk beyond just your asking him for stuff? Can you talk to him about your life, the will he has for you, the purpose that he has for you, the things he has connected and concerning you? Can you talk to him about what he wants you to do, what he wants for you? Can you talk to him about more than a house and a car and a mate and money and stuff? Can you talk to him while there's time and the door of opportunity is still available? It's still open. Well, listen to this. There's the door of peace, again, representing opportunity and blessings and access. When God speaks, man should obey and heed his call. Because God will not always deal with man, God will not always strive with man. And many times we refuse to listen to God. But the Spirit calls us to repentance. Why does the Spirit convict us of our sins and our shortcomings? Because without unrepented sins, we will end up in hell. And so the Holy Ghost convicts us. Now, when he convicts us now, listen, now is a good time to say, Lord, forgive me. You don't say, well, you know what, I'm going to wait till the end of the day because I might sin some more before this day is over with, and I just want all my sins to be together when I pray and say, God, forgive me for my sins. But what happens if God, through his Spirit, was unctioning you because you were about to get in a car accident and didn't know it, and you were about to have something that ended your life and you didn't know, and you wouldn't make it to the night, and the Holy Ghost was saying, you need to get this matter taken care of now. And who knows not that when you repent now, that God then stops the hand and rebukes the devourer and keeps the enemy from doing what he intended to do the rest of the day because you repented and got right with God and kept the door from closing on you. Listen at this, because I want us to understand that. The Spirit also calls us not only to repentance, but to rest. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 talks about rest for the body, for the soul, and for the mind. And we need to understand that he came to give us this rest that we can find in no other place. That rest comes in the presence, the power, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why so many are going around aimlessly, moving through life, and can't stop at stop signs and red lights, and they got to run them because they're so messed up underneath the skin. They can't stand to wait those few seconds. That's why they got to blast their music, because they don't want to hear the Lord talking to them. That's why they got to fill their veins with poison and their throats with wine and liquor and all of that. And they've got to find themselves in doing things because they can't sit down and rest because of the restlessness underneath their skin in not being in a right place with God. Something is wrong when you can't sit down and rest, can't keep still. You notice the old folk get nervous when children just rip and run around. They know something is wrong when you can't sit down and rest. You got to always be moving. And it was like my grandmother, man, you do too much. Everything was, they on dope. Cough too much, Dad. See, they on dope. Get up, eat too much. They on that dope. I mean, I don't care what it was. If you just couldn't rest, you won't. Look at him sneezing. I had to tell her. A preacher was preaching. This is a true story. This preacher was preaching, and he had a handkerchief, long handkerchief. And she said, something was wrong with that preacher. She said, he didn't get in a high gear till he started wiping his face with that handkerchief. He said he ain't had no regular handkerchief. He had a pillowcase. And he obviously had something in it, and he just got crazy after he wiped his face and he's on that dope. But it's something wrong. You remember the man who was possessed with demons? He was running to the fire and into the water. He couldn't keep still, ripped his clothes off, running here, running there, doing this. He broke fetters and he could not be chained and kept because he was demon possessed. There was no rest. But when he met Jesus, the Bible says that he sat at the feet of Jesus and was clothed and in his right. You can sit down and rest when you're in your right mind. That's why I'm bothered by folk who can't keep still in church. And it ain't always about the bathroom. My grandmother was a CMA. I'm going to move on because that ain't in the Bible. But when we recognize the Spirit calls us also not only to repent and not only to rest, but to receive. John 1 and 12 tells us Jesus came to his own people, but they did not receive him. He went to his own, but his own received him. Not bad things that the Spirit of God will call you to receive. But if you're not in that place of peace with God, you cannot receive it. Because the things of the Spirit do not harmonize with the things of the flesh. And when God is trying to unction you for something of the Spirit, and our mind is of the carnal nature and of the fleshly nature, we can't receive the spiritual insight, the spiritual information, the spiritual nurturing, the spiritual blessings that God wants to fill us with. Can I tell you, when you get that kind of spiritual feeling, the rest in the natural and the carnal world doesn't mean as much to you. And that's when it doesn't mean that much to you. That's when you really know that you're living for God and that these things are just blessings and add-ons, because the true joy is knowing you got peace underneath the skin, that it is well with your soul, and the best is about being with the Lord, and for you to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Amen.
So God just starts giving you stuff because you're not worried about the stuff. You're not seeking the stuff. It's not even about the stuff. It's about the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And so when you begin to realize that, the door of prayer, the door of peace, but then there's the door of pardon. Because I want you to recognize, my brothers and sisters, that it's important the door of pardon is open to all people. No matter your color, your creed, your country, your concerns, it's open to all. Yet so many reject the door of pardon. And so when we begin to realize that, we might wait till it's too late. We might wait until the door of pardon is shut and cannot be opened. You begin to look at that and you begin to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 talks about today is your day. Today. When you hear the voice of the Lord, when you know, you understand the calling, salvation is for today. It is not a convenient opportunity for when you decide to stop doing what you want to do. For when you decide to stop running from the Lord. The day of salvation is today. Bible says, the day wherein you hear my voice, harden not your heart. It literally means don't make excuses, don't delay him, and don't deny him. Harden not your heart. So many of us harden our hearts by saying, Lord, I want to get myself together. I don't want to play with you. I want to be right. And I'm not through doing what I'm doing. And so I ain't going to go to church. I ain't going to do this. I'm going to get myself together. Listen, that is a lie from the pits of hell, a trick from the enemy. You can't get yourself together. Isaiah made it clear, all of our self-righteousness is as filthy rags. So even when you think you got it together, without Jesus, you are not together. And that's a play on the enemy trying to make sure that you wait too long and the doors close on you. And then no matter how much calling and crying you do, the door of pardon will not be opened. How do we know that time has come? Well, you know, we need to look at the Word of God and what God has to say about it. When we leave this earth, when we die, when the breath is taken out of our veins, surely that is one clear call that the door has been shut for good. What's another time when we have decided we're not going to pray and God turns us over to a reprobate mind? And when God knows that you've made up your mind and you're not going to do it, he goes on and shut the door. Then you're still alive, but you are walking dead. And then there are times when God knows that you're going to play in your folly and foolishness, and that you're going to miss out on the opportunity because you are not hearing nor heeding what he has to say. You are so plugged into this world, so attuned to the things of this world, so passionately pursuing the things that are pulling you further and further away from the Lord. If you will notice, if you miss church doing what you want to do, that first Sunday, it might have been hard, but if you miss the second Sunday, it gets less hard. And then if you miss another Sunday, you note that the more you miss, the more you find yourself pulling away from God, you are less likely to be convicted and to come back with a burning desire for God until something bad happens most times. Or until you've fallen on your face, or until you realize the cunning, trickiness of the devil, how he has moved you away from God and allowed so much to come in and cause chaos in your life, until you realize that the devil has hoodwinked you. I want to share three things with you about the door of pardon being closed on. How many of us understand that the door can close on us because we are late and lost? Late and lost. Matthew 25, 1 through 13, which is what we're dealing with here, talks about that. These five foolish women were late, and ultimately the implication was when the door shut, they were lost. So your lateness can cause your lostness. Let me say it again. Your lateness, when you hear God, but you take your time in coming.
That's right.
When God speaks to you, but you turn a deaf ear to him. Your lateness, you heard him and you're going to do it, but not now.
Yeah.
And so when you begin to recognize every tool that the enemy uses, listen, one of the greatest tools he uses is lateness. Because lateness shows a disinterest in things. Lateness shows that there's something else that's more prioritized. Lateness shows that that's not the thing that moves or motivates you. Lateness shows that it's important, but not as important as something else. And so when you are allowed by the enemy to be delayed on answering or hearing or heeding God, just know that that lateness can cause you to be lost. Because the Bible says these five women were late in that they went out and bought their oil, but when they came back, the door was shut, and then they became lost. Well, not only is there a late and lost reality connected with the door closing, but there is a loose and lost reality with being lost. One of the things that you got to realize is living any kind of way, loose. They became lost because their living was loose. They said, you know what, we'll get it in time. We ain't got to do this. Whether they wanted to sleep too long, whether they wanted to chit-chat, gossip, whatever they were doing too much, they lost the focus of what they were supposed to be doing. Now listen at this. They were all prepared in the beginning to meet the bridegroom. But five of them got their focus on something else. And can I tell you, when you take your focus off the Lord, you become loose in your mind, loose in your morals, loose in your resolve. And these women became loose in their conversation in those things that caused them to lose their focus. And then listen to this, when they recognized that they didn't have enough oil, they wanted to borrow. But see, I'm glad some folk had wisdom. When there is a call to personal preparation, there is a capacity only given to those who have been prepared. And when God gives you a capacity to hold what is rightly yours, then it is not divinely designed to share. Tell somebody, you got some stuff that God didn't intend for you to share. They've got to get their own. And you got to be careful, because loose folk try to play games on you. Try to tell you, you call yourself a Christian, you got more than enough oil. But what they don't understand is, I've got more than enough oil to take me through the midnight hours and the early morning hours to make sure that when the bridegroom coming, it'll take me on to dawn so that I can see my way. But if I give you some and he comes in the wee hours of the morning, both of us will be lost. And I've spent my time getting me ready for the bridegroom. Some of y'all don't understand it. You don't get it. And see, God wants you to make sure you spend your time getting you together. Yes, you're to be concerned about others. You need to tell, listen, you got your lamps are filled and trimmed. Are they burning? Are they ready? Are they prepared? But if they are not, listen, you got to say, you need to get some oil while the stores are open and time is still in hand. And if they tell you, well, I'm going to get it later, all right. God bless you. See you later. But listen, not only did they find themselves late and lost, loose and lost, but then like Lot's wife, they found themselves licentious and lost. Now, when you talk about licentious, that means that you think you can do what you want to do and still get what God has for you. Licentiousness. You know, God told her husband, Lot, listen, when I remove you from this city, don't look back. Because I've given those an opportunity to come out of this place of abomination. God saw
that man had taken his plan for reproduction and repopulating the world and perverted it. And men wanted to be with men. And women.